Welcome. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. Loves, good to have you with us on this Thursday. And I can't believe this, but I'm actually doing a show on the Beatles. On the Beatles. And we started off the program. You can go back and listen to it at WBEN.com with a guy who's a Buffalo treasure. And just so happens that I've known him for decades. Gary Astridge is the drummer for the BBC, which can stand for quite a few things. But in this case, it stands for Buffalo Beatles Connection. And Gary is also personal friends with Ringo Starr, Ringo's official drum historian, and Ringo and Gary have a book coming out together just in time for the holidays. So, I mean, Gary is, if he's not quite in the inner circle of the Beatles, he certainly is at the periphery of the inner circle of the Beatles. I mean, the inner circle, you got to think of people like Joe Walsh, who is part of the Beatles family, but it's a very... It's a very closed circle. It really is, and you need to prove yourself in order to even get close. But anyway, the Beatles' new song was released today, and by all accounts, it is being listened to all over the world. No doubt here in Western New York. And let's listen to Now and Then. And as you listen, and if you're just joining us, this will be new. And if you've been listening since 2, you'll heard me say this before. But the part of this song where I say, whoa, this is the Beatles, you'll hear it when Paul McCartney jumps in to sing harmony with John Lennon. So let the new Beatles song play from the beginning. We'll at least give 30 or 40 seconds to it, guys. Tanner, Evan, shoot. Probably the wrong word to use leading into this vocal, but no offense intended.
It's all because of you. And if I make it through, it's all because of you.
There it is.
And now and then, if we
final Beatles song that has been released today. Now, I'm not seeing that is number one on iTunes, but I might just be at the wrong internet location. Basically, I know how you guys love talking about music. And, you know, if I thought that this topic was old fart topic, like today we're going to talk about the Beatles, tomorrow we're going to talk about Medicare Part B, it's time to retire. But the Beatles span the generations, and Generation Z, believe it or not, people who were born from the mid-1990s to like the mid-2010s, they account for a ridiculous percentage of the streaming Beatles music online. So that, to me, bespeaks a power of the Beatles music that is it is transcendent, and their catalog is extensive. And man, I like Revolver, Rubber Soul, that era is when I thought the Beatles really hit their stride. As much as when I was a kid, hearing Love Me Do from the across the street neighbor's window really turned me on. I'm just saying, like, musically speaking, I was like, what is this magnificent sound? I've never heard anything like it. Although I must confess, and maybe you've got your own Beatles memory, and I mean, I'm asking like a lot of questions here. Are the Beatles still relevant to you? Or be honest with me, when you hear the Beatles, do you automatically assume old fart music? And if you automatically assume old fart music, I want you to go to the White Album, and I want you to listen to Helter Skelter, and then play, speaking of oldies, then go back to Nirvana, and listen to Smells Like Teen Spirit, or any other Nirvana song you want. And I'm telling you, there's a direct linkage between Helter Skelter and music like Nirvana. And the difference is, in the 90s, it was called grunge. Helter Skelter was a heavy-duty rock song. And it's it stands up today. I mean, McCartney somehow croaks his way through that song in a lot of the shows he does. By the way, Terry Pegula, I know you've got a lot on your mind right now, but Paul McCartney did promise that he'd come back to Buffalo. So since you're the man, maybe, Terry, you could get Paul McCartney to come back to Buffalo, because it's time for me to spend another $5,000 on a concert. You know, I'm just saying, I've never done that before, but I will always, I'll tell you something, just rambling here about the Beatles, I will never ever regret spending that money, because I was able to sit 4 or 5 row center from McCartney with my mother, and the kids had seats a few rows behind us. And it is, to them, like, I can't believe that took place back in 2015, and it is one of their enduring memories from that time. And look, I love the Beatles. I love them. George Harrison, it's interesting, because when you open up Sgt. Pepper, there are photographs of all the Beatles standing together. And I remember being a little boy and saying to my mom, okay, which one is this? Oh, that's Paul McCartney. Which one is this? That's John Lennon. Which one is this? That's Ringo Starr. Then I said, which one is this? And she had to think for about 5-10 minutes, and she finally said, oh, that's George Harrison. And George Harrison, in so many ways, was overshadowed when he was in the Beatles until later on. Something, which was written by George Harrison, is one of the greatest selling and most acclaimed Beatles songs of all time. I mean, there is something about the Beatles, and hey, Ringo Starr says it the best. There was a magic that is just, I don't know, it's impossible to define. Look, I love Zeppelin as much as the next guy. I love Pink Floyd. I could listen to Dark Side of the Moon over and over again. In fact, Mrs. Bowerly would argue that that's probably too much true. But that's another story. I think I've destroyed Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin's Kashmir for her. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. Be super cool if Robbie Takeac would call in from the Goo Goo Dolls. I know we've got mutual friends out there, so I'd love to know his thoughts on this particular bit of music. It is Robbie in East Amherst. Robbie, you are on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tom. Yes, I definitely feel the Beatles are relevant, not only in my life, but my kids' lives. I saw the Beatles in 1965 and 1966 in Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto. Yes, I'm older. And
can I touch your hand, please? Can I touch the hem of your dress, please?
Honestly, I thought everybody saw the Beatles until I started getting older and, you know, saying that to people. And people were like, you saw the Beatles? And I'm like, yeah, didn't you see the Beatles? Like, I just thought everybody did.
Well, you know the story, right? That right after Ed Sullivan, the Beatles had an offer to play Buffalo by WKBW Radio. And I think they wanted, and Sandy Beach would know the story better than I think the Beatles management wanted $3,000 for the Beatles, and the station management thought it was too much. The amount might be off, but they could have played Buffalo, but they never did.
That's crazy. I didn't know that, honestly. But I'll never forget it. I mean, it impacted me. I was littler than my two sisters. And it just continued to impact me throughout my life so much that, you know, we were all Beatle fans. My father was a Beatle fan. And when my sister passed away, one of her wishes was to have a Beatles song played at her funeral, and we did that. It was just
which one?
Yeah, what is it?
In My Life.
That was it.
Oh, how did I guess that? In My Life. Yeah, that's like that came up the other day when we did songs you want played at your funeral. And In My Life is such a beautiful retrospective piece. And on December 9th of 1980, you could not turn on a radio without hearing John Lennon singing In My Life. And oh my goodness, it very emotional.
Yeah. I still cry when I hear it, and I was listening when you were doing that show the other day. I almost called in then. But yeah, back then the concert was everyone screaming anyways, but it was so impactful, and I love the Beatles.
What was impactful about a concert where all you heard was people screaming? And that's one of the reasons the Beatles stopped going on tour. The last U.S. show they played was Candlestick Park, and the last live gig they did was at the roof of the recording studio. I love that whole session, by the way.
Yeah, it was just cool as I got older to realize that, oh my gosh, I was in the same room as the Beatles. In fact,
Bobby, I love you, but as you know, I'm a prisoner of the clock, so I will get back to you. The Beatles, I cannot confirm that the new Beatles song, Now and Then, is number one on iTunes. Maybe it's because I don't have an iPhone. Maybe it's just because I'm a moron. But either are possible, I suppose. But we're talking about the Beatles. Are they still relevant? Do they still matter? And how many of you listening did the Beatles change your life? And you don't even have to have been alive when they were on Ed Sullivan to go back and watch the videos on YouTube and say, whoa, that is amazing. Let me buy a guitar. But let's get back to a woman who saw on two occasions in Toronto the Beatles. Can't believe she was in the same room with all four in all of their might and raging glory, Robbie in East Amherst.
Yes, you know, and I do remember watching him on Ed Sullivan as well, because my father made such a big deal about it. It was like an event. And, you know, and then seeing them going up to Toronto with signs out, you know, in the windows of our car. And it was like an event. It was a big deal. And my friends at the time didn't even know who the Beatles were, but my sisters and their friends knew. So, you know, I felt like I was really cool because I was so young. But it impacted me so much. And then in 2014, my family and I went to Europe. And we toured all around Europe, and we, of course, went to Liverpool, and we walked across Abbey Road, and we had a photographer take a picture. We have it in our kitchen, and it was just a picture of the four of us walking across like the Beatles did, and my husband didn't have any shoes on like John, and it's just, we're just
Paul.
Big fans.
Paul was not wearing shoes.
Okay, Paul, you got it.
Yeah, because, basically, the Beatles, for as much as Paul McCartney publicly detested the rumors that he'd been decapitated in a car crash on an icy night in the UK, John Lennon had fun with it as a practical joker. I think McCartney did, too.
Yes. I was thinking John, because the other thing that I clearly remember is I was talking to my girlfriend on the phone when John Lennon was shot outside of Dakota Apartments. And I remember that, the whole, you know, notice across the TV. I think it was, I don't know if the Buffalo Bills were playing, but it was like Monday Night Football or something. I don't know. It was across the game. And I just remember that too. So many different things throughout my life. The Beatles have been, you know, just a big part of it. That was a tragedy. But, you know, just their music, it's forever. And my kids are so much younger and they love their music.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so hard to believe. Actually, it was the New England Patriots and Miami Dolphins were playing that game that Howard Cosell basically got the news and broke it to America. And the thing that I will never forget personally about the night John Lennon was killed, I was upstairs. I should have been doing homework, but I had my 1972 Fender Telecaster. I wish I had that guitar back. And I was actually practicing Beatles songs upstairs at the time John Lennon was getting shot. How weird is that?
Wow. Yeah. That is wild. Yeah.
And somebody once told me, if you want to learn how to play the guitar, just learn every Beatles song there is, and you'll be pretty good.
Well, I don't know anything about playing the guitar, but...
Well, hold on, because you've used a word, and I want to delve a little deeper into it when you say the Beatles impacted your life. I mean, how exactly did they impact your life? But I need to break here, obviously, on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, loves, the Beatles dropped their final single today. It's a song called Now and Then. It's kind of trippy to hear the Beatles together again for the first time since... you know, 1969, 1970, that era. And there are some parts of the song that, you know, give me the chills, like when McCartney joins in with Lennon on the vocals. That's like, whoa. The song itself, my opinion, it's not an A-side, it's not a B-side. It would have been hidden somewhere in the middle of the vinyl, in my opinion. 803, and it's better than Maxwell's Silver Hammer, okay, which John Lennon detested. 803-0930, he used to criticize McCartney for writing granny music. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Are the Beatles still relevant? I'd love to hear from younger people, because Generation Z, those of you born in the mid-90s to the mid-2010s, you guys account for a very large percentage of Beatles music being streamed. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. I don't know what other band has that kind of track record. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Today, after a wave of publicity, thanks to Peter Jackson, Jeff Lynne, Giles Martin, and there you have it. What do you guys think of the song? My opinion, it's not an A-side, it's not a B-side. It would have been somewhere in the middle of the vinyl back in the old days. I know some of you still like vinyl. I will never understand you people who are vinyl freaks, but that's just me. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Are the Beatles relevant? Are the Beatles overrated? You might have been somebody... who was in the minority. I mean, you might have said, the Beatles suck, even when the Beatles were da bomb. Maybe you were just being a contrarian. I don't know. But Bobby in East Aurora, you kept saying that the Beatles had an impact on you, and you haven't gone into details. In what way did the Beatles have this tectonic, life-changing, continent-moving effect on you?
Are you talking to me, Robbie?
Yes.
In East Amherst. Okay. You know, I'll tell you, their music is relatable, Tom. You know, I think everybody can relate to it. And even, especially the music, like, early on, I feel like it was just good music. It was relatable. And their call, like, for peace and love, that is something that everybody can relate to. And so... to be impacted by their music through generations, you know, from my generation to the next generation to the next to my kids. I don't know anyone that doesn't love Beatles songs. I'm sure there's people out there, but when I play Beatle music, no matter who I'm with, whether it's in the gym or whether it's in my car or whatever, people like it. And so I think it's because it's relatable and it's good music.
Now, you said, I believe you said the earlier Beatles. Was there a time when the Beatles lost you? Because, I mean, I think we all have a favorite era of the Beatles. And, you know, I like the later stuff, to be very frank. I like the later stuff. The early stuff, kind of bubblegummy for me. But the later stuff, yeah, baby.
I don't know. I think, from Sgt. Pepper maybe on. It wasn't my favorite, but I still loved everything Beatles. I mean, you know, like we were talking about earlier, In My Life, A Hard Day's Night, Let It Be, Yesterday, She Loves You, Something, and I Love Her, All You Need Is Love. Everyone knows those songs, and everyone can relate to them, I think. So I just love them. I mean, they impacted me. They impacted a lot of people, and they were for peace and love. Especially in the early days.
They were for peace and love if you take John Lennon's bar fights out of it.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I think he and Harry Nilsson got into a brawl one night out in California. Might have been New York. I don't know. But, you know, John Lennon, I have always thought he was a bit of a hypocrite, much to the chagrin of one of our listeners who patterns himself after John Lennon. But I always thought he was a bit hypocritical on that front. Imagine no possessions as I drive in my Rolls Royce and live in the Dakota apartment building. Should have been in a cardboard box under a bridge if you really wanted to live that credo. Thank you very much. I appreciate hearing from you. So the Beatles' final song has been released, and I know you guys like talking about music. And just seriously, this is kind of the simplest question I can come up with here is, you know, do you like or dislike the Beatles? Do you love the Beatles? On a scale of 0 to 10, where are the Beatles in your musical hierarchy? Now, you might very well back in the day, and maybe even today, you may very well prefer the Rolling Stones. Hey, some people preferred the Dave Clark Five. I mean, there's all the talk about the rivalry between the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and the Beatles and the Beach Boys and Pet Sounds versus Sgt. Pepper. But early on, the Beatles had some stiff competition from the DC 5, the Dave Clark 5, Glad All Over, stuff like that. I'm kind of curious where you are on the Beatles. Have the Beatles outlived their relevance, or are they going to be relevant as long as people are learning and playing music? Do you remember the first time, and I'm presuming for most of you it was not the Ed Sullivan Show, the first time you actually got exposed to the Beatles' music? And actually, this brings back a memory for me, because although the first time I said, "Wow, this is amazing," was the first time I heard Love Me Do played very loud. But years before that, whenever it first came out, I would play in my brother's record player upstairs Yellow Submarine over and over and over and over again, along with, you'll be happy to know, the Rolling Stones' Satisfaction. I don't know how those two got together. And Donovan, Mellow Yellow. Those were like the three go-to songs over and over and over again. 803-0930, the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And the Beatle that I have developed a tremendous appreciation for, and he's no longer with us, is George Harrison. And that's not to demean Ringo Starr or Paul McCartney, but George Harrison, I really like a lot of the stuff he did late Beatles and in his solo career. Let's go to John on a cell phone. John, you are on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. I was just going to say a couple things. Number one, George Harrison and Paul McCartney are my favorite Beatles. And my most favorite album was the album that George Harrison did with My Sweet Lord. That was phenomenal, as many of the Beatles albums were.
That was a solo effort by George Harrison, and he actually was successfully sued, as you may know, because they called it unconscious plagiarism from the song He's So Fine.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I knew that, and I just love that album and love that song that Harrison did by himself, I believe.
Yes, that was a solo effort written by George Harrison. And again, he got sued, and he had to turn over $1 million from My Sweet Lord to Bright Tunes Music. That's successfully litigated. And look, it's not unusual in the music. I mean, if you go back online, you can find that Led Zeppelin was actually sued unsuccessfully for allegedly ripping off Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, I had heard about that also. Tom, I was going to ask you, I tuned in a little late, so you might have talked about this. Have you seen the recent movie called Yesterday?
No, I have not.
You've got to see it. It's a hypothetical. It's hard to explain, but it's in a situation where the world goes through this electrical storm, and it erases the memory about the Beatles throughout the world, except for one guy.
Oh yeah. I've seen the trailers for it. Honestly, it looks pretty stupid. No disrespect to you, sir.
Well, I've been called worse. Listen, but you got to see the movie if you're a Beatles fan, because the music is outstanding and the plot is outstanding.
No, I didn't. I did not say. Hold on, I did not say you were stupid. I would never say that to somebody unless they really were stupid.
I know.
The movie sounds stupid. But then again, when I first heard the premise of Inglourious Basterds by Tarantino, I thought that sounded stupid too. And then I watched the movie and I said, "Damn good film." So maybe I'll feel the same way about Yesterday.
Yeah, you got to check it out. It's. I've watched it about 10 times because the music is really outstanding. The plot is very good too. But anyway, check it out. I think you'll like it.
Go ahead.
Oh, the last thing I was going to talk about is I had heard just within the last year that John Lennon was a real political conservative. And I was just wondering, have you heard the same or something different?
Just what I've read in John Lennon's own words, the Playboy interview he did in 1980 before his death, obviously, and his book, which was published by Rolling Stone. I don't know that I would call John Lennon conservative, maybe a libertarian. But then again, he also had some very left-wing views as well. I have no idea as far as John Lennon's politics when he died. I'm pretty sure he didn't have a portrait of Winston Churchill in his apartment at the Dakota. Who would have thought that in 2023 we're talking about the Beatles, and it's not just like a fluff throwaway show. They just released their final single ever, allegedly, today. And we've played samples of it during the program. And let's get back to our caller, who is John on a cell phone. John, you were going to make a point, and we had to break, and I apologize for that. But you may now make your point, sir.
Yeah, some of the biggest tragedies in music had to be, of course, John Lennon being assassinated by Mark David Chapman. But the other tragedy was when George Harrison got almost beaten to death, I think with almost a crowbar at his home by some maniac. And I'll tell you, that's evidence that I know in England it's very difficult to get a gun, but that's evidence where people need guns to protect themselves. George Harrison was almost beaten to death, and I'm sure that he died at an early age, and it could have been caused in part by that trauma. What do you thought? What are your thoughts?
Actually, George Harrison was attacked with a knife, and I don't know what provisions George Harrison made to hire a bodyguard, but I don't know if there are any bodyguards on duty. But during that same basic time period, let's not forget, in addition to George Harrison having an intruder in his house who tried to kill him, first of all, the amazing thing to me is George Harrison was able to beat him off, because George Harrison was a rather slight fellow. He, you know, probably wiry, which makes him a little more difficult to tangle with, but he was able to defuse the situation. But there was also a case in that same era where this jerk climbed into Buckingham Palace, one of the most secured buildings in the world, and got into the Queen's bedroom and had a private audience with the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, who maintained her composure and said something to the effect of, "I'll go get you some tea," and then immediately notified the bodyguards. I don't know how many heads rolled after that at Buckingham Palace, if you live in a country that has tough gun laws and you've got the money, the idea is you hire a bodyguard who's licensed to carry a firearm. Because I assure you, the UK is not going to change its firearms policy anytime real soon.
I'm surprised the Parliament didn't call it an insurrection like they did on January 6th.
Sorry. They're going to start getting political. I'm not going there. I'm not going to allow myself to be taken down that road. Sorry. 803, because the two are absolutely unrelated. An individual attacking an individual versus January 6th. Now, I have my thoughts on January 6th and what it was and what it wasn't, but to equate January 6th with an attack on George Harrison or a guy who climbed into Buckingham Palace and the Queen's bedroom, I think we might as well be talking kumquats and apples, one of which I like. It's 4:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN.